Music from Camera Obscura. That's from their new album. It's called Desire Lines, and you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Well, as promised, we are going to chat about Nativity, the pop opera. This is the sixth annual production this year. It's running tomorrow through the 14th at the Beaver Creek Church of the Nazarene, and then it's going to be on December 15th as well at The Gathering, which is on Yankee Street in Dayton. I sat down to chat with J. Todd Anderson first, one of the show's creators, about this year's production, and we started off talking a little bit about the structure. So let's take a little bit of a listen to that right now. Like I said, I started off asking J. Todd about the structure of Nativity.
We do this thing every Christmas time, and it's a it's kind of a narrative approach of an opera telling the story, the whole baby Jesus story with grandma's mantle and everything, and we tell it all the way from the very beginning, John the Baptist, and it's all, the transition of the Christ child, and we do it all in music. It's all opera, it's all pop music and things like that, and except for one little scene where the innkeeper throws Joe and Mary out of the inn, not physically, of course, but he does tell them to hit the road, and that's where we stop. That's what I call the Kafka break. That's where they go to the inn, and they get, kind of tossed, and then, of course, we proceed with the rest of the show, and everything's there, all the characters there, and the innkeeper, we threw him in there, and we also have a mime who helps out because we're so poor, we got to have somebody who's an actor and a stagehand. So that's basically Nativity, the pop opera, and we've been doing it for a while, and people seem to enjoy it, and we're here to provide again, and we do it for one cause, and that's A Kid Again, and all the proceeds collected go to A Kid Again. Everything collected on all six of our shows goes to the organization A Kid Again.
How have you experienced the evolution of this show, of, the way that you're presenting it from year to year and the way that audiences are connecting with it?
Well, the biggest thing is that it's not like movies. And as you know, that's what I do is movies. And this is my theatrical experience. This is, in movies we prep everything and then we shoot it and then we try to edit together so it works. But in theater, it doesn't work that way. So every year, we find things that work, and then we try to weave them into next year's program. And things that don't work, we cut them. It's not like editing, but we do cut them. And we try to hang on to the things that work, and we don't analyze it too much. But if that works, we just go with it. And through the years, we've been able to develop this show to the point where the things that work, we keep them in there, and the things that don't work, well, they're just long gone. And that's the best way that I can say that we change things. And if one of our performers gets inspired, and they do something, we just hope we can capture that lightning in a bottle again. And through the years, we've kind of developed the show into a nice, tight little 92-minute show. The other thing is like when I was out promoing it last year, there's a lot of really silly things that I had missed. For instance, when I'd say, based on a true story, I got a response from people. Through the years, we've struggled with the choreography on the show because we never had enough money to buy a choreographer. And then this year, like a really magic Christmas present, Bronwyn Owsley became available to be our choreographer.
You've also got Sherman Andress coming
in. Yes, we do. I wanted to bring in somebody who has a little bit of history and attraction. And Sherman has been around the block so many times, he's bumping into himself, man. That guy is number one gospel singer. He used to be with the Imperials, and then he was with Andress Blackwood, and now he's on Gaither on Sundays. And I saw him in 1972 when I was a kid at the Hare Arena, believe it or not. They actually had gospel acts that came in there, too, back in those days. And there he was, up on the stage, and they had these real cool Elvis jumpsuits and stuff. They tried to make these corny jokes about him breaking the color barrier. But I could tell that the heat was on Sherman. And, man, when he sang, I never forgot it. And so when I was combing around trying to find a good singer for our show, his thought came to my mind, and I called him up, and here we are. So I think it's going to be a wonderful show because the guy's, he's a beautiful, beautiful singer. And hopefully everybody will come and hear him.
That was my conversation with J. Todd Anderson, one of the creators of Nativity, the pop opera. It opens tomorrow night and runs through Saturday at Beaver Creek Church of the Nazarene. And it's also going to be playing Sunday at the Gathering in Dayton. The performances benefit A Kid Again, helping ill children experience fun and adventure and all that good stuff. And J. Todd mentioned that Sherman Andrus is going to be starring in this year's show. And I actually got to catch up with him as well last week. So we're going to hear a little bit of that conversation. He has quite a history in music. So we're going to take a listen to that right now. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO. How did you first get started making music? Was it in a church setting?
Yes. I grew up in a Christian home, very in a small town in Louisiana of 135 people, and we lived right across the street from a Pentecostal church, and it was not an elective at my home. We had to go every time the door opened, and I started singing in my mother's choir at an early age. But I think I knew by the time I was 5 years old what I was going to do, because everyone in the family could sing, but they said I drove them crazy singing all the time. So no one was really surprised when I started doing more and more in gospel. But that's where I got my start, in my mother's group.
When did you start really taking those first, you know, big steps to branch out, not just from, you know, singing in the church on Sundays and with your mom's choir, to, you know, making this, you know, the steps to make this your livelihood and your lifetime calling?
Really, it started in high school. We sang in the music department there, and had a teacher who really took a lot of time with me and tried to prepare me for what I wanted to do. But in singing in the school, you know, they weren't gospel songs. But when I was about 19 years old, I went out to California, and there was a lot going on musically. Andre Crouch, Billy Preston, some of the great singers like Thelma Houston, who are now big and secular, they all were singing in groups, in gospel groups. And I was just singing in the choir. You know, I would like to tell you that some kind of way I was discovered or, you know, auditioned, but it was never that. It was just Andre heard me sing, and he said, if I ever start a male group, I want you to sing with me. And that's how I got my break to sing with a known artist. And I was pretty, not immature, but I wasn't aware of all the musical things that were happening on the West Coast, because a lot of different music I was singing. When I left home, I thought gospel was only the traditional quartet, the black quartets, and that's what I sang. And Andre and his sister, Sandra, heard me, and he said, well, you know, sing the pretty style that you sing when you sing in ballads and stuff. And they kind of trained me to do something else with my voice. And that was my big break, starting out with Andre. And it was not, it was not like something planned, strictly, you know, just serendipitous, I guess would be the word.
Now, when you were singing with Andre, and then other groups you would go on to sing with as well, you guys were merging, you know, traditional gospel, things you would hear in church on Sunday, with, you know, some rhythms and some sounds that were also part of, you know, popular secular music. What was that like, merging those two worlds, and what was the response, you know, from the gospel music community and from, you know, just the music community at large?
Well, it wasn't the young people liked it, but the traditionalists, the older people, didn't like it. And that was even with Andre, when we started, we sang to all different audiences, black, white, Mexican. And so we, you know, but the young people really loved it. But older people would not, they didn't like it. It was too contemporary. And, you know, even we got a backlash when I first started with Andre, because we did. There was a very popular group in secular music called Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions. They had a song, People Get Ready. And we did a lot of high harmony and stuff, and that people, especially in the Church of God in Christ, they wanted a real gravy, you know, the greasy stuff. And so we got a lot of bad feedback from the older people, but the young people were just so enthusiastic about it. And we sort of carved out a niche for ourselves, because there was not any special, there wasn't a road or, you know, places where people would always go to sing. We found those. We sang in colleges, we sang in high schools, and those things. Heretofore, that kind of music was only in the church setting. So we kind of created a feel. And at that same time, there was a very popular group called Love Song with Chuck Girard. And we started doing festivals, and you would see as much as 10,000 young people just in some grassy area, and we'd set up a sound system, and it was done without security guards and stuff like that. It was just, you know, it was during the Jesus people time, and it just evolved from there. And the thing that made it so different is we were kind of flying by the seat of our pants, so to speak, with Andre Crouch and the Disciples. And then when the Imperials called me and I joined them in 1972, they were more business-like, but, you know, they had their certain venues that they played, and it was a lot of it was Southern gospel. And when I got there, it kind of turned the corner into a more contemporary setting.
One of the things I love about Nativity is that it's such a fresh interpretation of a story we all know so well.
Right.
How do you feel about, you know, getting to be, you know, kind of the guy who really proclaims this story, but in a whole new way that's really, you know, accessible to people?
Well, usually that's how I describe it, as being fresh. I'm hoping that some publishing company will pick up this and do it, because it is from such a different standpoint. You know, when we hear the message of Christmas, you know, and talking about the virgin birth and everything, we sit back and we hear him preach from, you know, from the pulpit about that, just like that's the most normal thing in the world, to have a virgin birth, you know. And you, what JD and Mark did, they explored the human element there and how people would react. What would a boyfriend say? It wasn't me. You know, it's, you know, and that's what I like about it. It'll make you chuckle, but I don't think anyone, I don't know if when they're preaching or or from the pulpit. I think the preachers think they have to be solemn about it, but there is a human element to it, and that's what they capture, the fact that, hey, this guy said, hey, it wasn't me. And just like I love my favorite song on it is Incense Burning, as Gabriel was talking to Zachariah. I mean, here's this guy up in age, and he said, yeah, you and your wife are going to have a child, you know. And I love it. It's very inspiring, and I look forward to performing it.
Excellent. Well, we will look forward to seeing you on stage in Nativity. I know our time is just about up, but I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you there.
That was my conversation with Sherman Andress. He's going to be starring in Nativity, the pop opera. It opens tomorrow night, plays through Saturday at the Beaver Creek Church of the Nazarene, and it's also going to be on Sunday at the Gathering on Yankee Street in Dayton. Of course, that is a charity production benefiting A Kid Again. We've got all the details up on our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. This is member-supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond.